Welcome to worship online at El Ador Church this Sunday, March the 6th, first Sunday of Lent. We are glad that you are with us this morning. In the spirit of reconciliation, we acknowledge that we live, work, and play on the traditional territories of the Blackfoot Confederacy, Siksika, Kainai, the Kani, the Tsuut'ina, the Stoney Nakoda Nations, the Métis Nation Region 3, and all people who make their homes on the Treaty 7 region of Southern Alberta. We also reaffirm our pledge to stand for justice and our commitment that our church is a place where all people, regardless of race, culture, sexuality, or faith, are welcome. Together, we hope that all can find the true love of God and authentic community. Our call to worship. From Bethlehem to Nazareth, from Jordan to Jericho, from Bethany to Jerusalem, from then to now, come, Lord Jesus, to heal the sick, to mend the brokenhearted, to comfort the disturbed, to disturb the comfortable, to cleanse the temple, to liberate faith from convention. Come, Lord Jesus, to carry the cross, to lead the way, to shoulder the sin of the world and take it away. Come, Lord Jesus, today, to this place, to us. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. And so we come, Father. We come and we ask once again, Lord Jesus, that you come into our hearts, into our lives, and help us to truly worship you this morning. In your most precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Our Old Testament scripture reading today comes from the book of the prophet of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hid their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shears in silence. So he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord make his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life, and satisfied by his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he has poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with transgressors. He bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We come this morning in prayer together. There are many things on our minds, and it is so wonderful that the Lord hears our prayers, scattered that we may be in location, together, united by the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. Father God, we come this morning grateful that you are our Creator God. You are our beloved Father who sent his only Son to earth so that we may be forgiven. And we thank you for that gift of forgiveness. Jesus, you gave up so much to come to earth, to bear the sins of all, the sins of each one of us, and to pay that perfect sacrifice so that we may live in relationship with you. What an amazing gift. And so as we enter this season of Lent, we pray, O God, that you will help us to be aware once again of the enormity of the sacrifice that you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have given for us. We ask this morning for your forgiveness, for we know that we have sinned against you. We have not spoken when we should have, and we have said things and done things we shouldn't have. And we need your forgiveness. Our hearts are heavy this morning as we think of so many who need your touch. We think of Brian. We pray you will heal his leg. Thank you for providing wonderful medical systems. We think of people who are still suffering from COVID, others from anxiety and fear because of COVID. We think of those who are grieving, loss of loved ones, loss of dreams and hopes. Well, there are so many that we think of. And we know that you are aware and that you are there. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will just fill each person with your comfort, consolation, healing, and hope. But most of all, may each one feel your love, and may we be a part of that. We think of all of those who are suffering financially, that need your touch and your help and your provision. And we know, and we claim the promise, that you are our provider, Jehovah Jireh. We think of the world that needs your peace. Particularly today, we pray for all of those in Ukraine and in Eastern Europe who are living in fear and fighting for their freedom. And we pray that you will help Putin and the Russian government to lay down their weapons and to step back. We pray for the leaders of the world that they will have discernment and wisdom as they try to negotiate an end to this injustice. We think of people closer to home whose families are broken because of fighting, infighting, because of positions taken around vaccines and COVID and all those other things. And they too need your peace, your wisdom, your discernment. Lord, teach us to forgive as you forgive us. Help us. Help us to learn to live as the family of God you would have us be, delighting in the diversity of each other and in your creation, united in love as your beloved children. You are an awesome God. And you have blessed us with so much. And so help us to live generous lives, shining your light and your forgiveness to all that we meet. In your most precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Our second scripture this morning comes from Luke chapter 23, and it is part of the crucifixion story. Luke chapter 23, starting at verse 24. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on the way in the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountain, 'Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us.' For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided his clothes by casting lots. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lent. What is Lent? Some of you, this is a new concept. Lent is 40 days of preparing our hearts and minds to think about all of the sacrifices of Jesus Christ at the cross and all that he went through. It doesn't include Sundays, because Sundays is always a celebration of Jesus' resurrection. So it ends up being close to 7 weeks in the long run. And it is an interesting practice. Some people like to give up something for Lent because every time they want that particular thing, it helps them to remember, oh yeah, we are preparing our hearts and minds to celebrate Christ's death and resurrection. In our church, we have a wonderful practice of preparing a Lent devotional book, and many of the people in our congregation have contributed to this, and each day there is a scripture passage and some thought into it. There's a prayer, and it is a wonderful practice. If you haven't got your copy of the Lent devotional, please contact the office and they will be happy to send you one electronically, or you can pick up a hard copy. And during Lent, we often have a series of messages related to that. This year's version is about crosswords. It's a play on words. You can see the crossword back there that we're going to fill in each week. These are the last words of Jesus while he was on the cross. And he spoke 7 times while he was on the cross, 3 times to men, 3 times to God, and 1 to himself. The first words he spoke we want to think about today. They are the words from the end of the scripture passage we read in Luke. "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." These words were said probably while they were actually driving the nails into his hands and his feet. And some people believe the words were only for the soldiers because they didn't know what they were doing. They were just obeying orders. However, Jesus' whole reason to be here on earth is found in these words. He came that we might have forgiveness for our sin, and new life, abundant life, and eternal life. So it's entirely reasonable to think that as he said the words, "Father, forgive them,"
He was thinking of all those who had just abandoned him in his greatest time of need, his disciples and others, and all those that had been caught up in the frenzy of the crowd shouting, "Crucify him," and Pilate and Herod and the chief priests and elders that were literally responsible for the position he was in at this moment. "Father, forgive them, for they, all people, know not what they do." And he may have been thinking of you and I too. Jesus forgives sin. Jesus forgives my sin and your sin. And his forgiveness is absolute and final. His forgiveness did not stop at the cross. His forgiveness reaches across the ages and touches our lives. He is the forgiveness that never ends. Forgiveness is possible. Forgiveness is necessary. Through Christ's forgiveness, God views us as holy, and we are welcome in his presence, and he delights in us. These words of Jesus that we just read actually form a prayer. We have a few scripture passages that are prayers that Jesus prayed, but not many. Most of the time, Jesus gave us the example of how he would like us to pray in private, as he taught us in Matthew 6. However, in John 17, one of his recorded prayers, Jesus prays about glorifying God and asks God to glorify him. And then he prays for his disciples and he asks for their protection. And then he prays for all of us and for all believers that we might know his love. And that's another reason why it is not out of line to think that Jesus' short prayer, "Father, forgive them," is multi-layered and for all of us. Arthur Pink, in his book, The Seven Sayings of the Savior on the Cross, talks about six particular truths that we find in this intercessory prayer, the short one, of Jesus on the cross. It is here that we see the fulfillment of the prophetic word. The passage of scripture that we read from Isaiah 53 is a clear prophecy of Jesus and what was going to happen to him. It makes it clear that Jesus would bear the sin of all of us and provide a way for us. It is also very clear that he would suffer horribly, and he did. Here we see Christ, the second one, here we see Christ identified with his people. He had never made a request like this of his Father before that we know of. I mean, as we just discussed, we have records that he prayed for us, but there is no record of him asking God to forgive us. We do know that he prayed often, but because he usually prayed in private, we really don't know what he prayed. But here at the cross, he is understanding the burden of sin for the first time in his life. And he identifies with us and his people in a whole new way. And he prays for us. "Father, forgive them." He still prays for us. Romans 8:34 says, "Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and also interceding for us." The third truth is that here we see the divine estimate of sin. And that can't be abided by God. We know that. Sin is sin. We've talked about it. Justice demands punishment and sacrifice for sin. But here also is the love of God through Jesus Christ providing the sacrifice and the punishment for sin. Justice and love, and Jesus Christ providing the sacrifice and punishment for sin so we can be forgiven and live in a loving, intimate relationship with him. The fourth truth, here we see the blindness of the human heart. They didn't know the enormity of their actions, some say. They didn't know what they were doing, Christ said, sort of. But is their ignorance or our ignorance an excuse? They had the words of the prophets, like Isaiah that we just read, and they were awaiting the coming Messiah, and yet they missed it. We too have no excuse for our ignorance. We should know. We have the scriptures that clearly spell all of this out for us, and yet we often miss it. Some people haven't read the scriptures and so are ignorant, yet they could read them, they just don't. Some of us do read them and then we don't always act on them as we should. Still, no excuse. Our hearts are blind because we don't listen well enough to God's voice or heed his word. Open our eyes that we may see glimpses of truth you have for me, we sing. Open our hearts to the blindness, Lord. The fifth truth is that here we see Christ's own teaching exemplified. Again, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, Matthew 5:44 says. In the message it says, you're familiar with the old written law, love your friend, and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the supple moves of prayer. For when you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves, this is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless, the good and the bad, the nice and the nasty. And so, as is always the case, Jesus models his teaching for us. He shows us how to do this. We shouldn't be surprised that even on the cross, Christ was praying for his enemies. And so should we. And the sixth truth, and the most blessed one of all, is that here we see the triumph of redeeming love. Yes, here is God's redeeming love. Here is love made flesh and making a road to God's presence because of love. Unconditional, ever-abiding, sacrificial love. Complete forgiveness that comes from that perfect love. And so the word for this week is forgiveness. And we need to live this out. Christ forgave us. And we need to forgive others. The attitude and the spirit of unforgiveness is wrong. It's destructive. It's sin. And when we live with the spirit of unforgiveness, we become bitter and it destroys us and others. And when we live with the spirit of unforgiveness, we destroy our witness for Christ. We are called to be Christ's ambassadors, his hands and feet. And we're certainly not that when we let unforgiveness rule our lives. But when we recognize the extreme blessing of forgiveness, then we can extend it to others. When we forgive others, then Christ's light shines through us. When we are blessed, then we can be part of blessing others. So our response to Christ's last words, Father, forgive them, must be, Father, help us to forgive others as you have forgiven us. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for giving up all to come to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you that through your death and your resurrection, we do have forgiveness. Teach us to forgive as we have been forgiven. In your most precious name we pray. Amen. Christ's words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I hope we come now to the Lord's table today, thinking about the amazing blessing of being forgiven. I hope we come realizing all that Jesus did for us. He thought of you, of me, as he hung on that cross. He prayed for you as he hung on that cross. He prayed that we would know the depths of his love and be forgiven. and he continues to pray for us now. The song in our playlist says, come and see, come and see. We worship at your feet where love and mercy meet. And that's where we are, the Lord's table, the foot of the cross where Jesus died for each one of us. Scripture says, for I received from the Lord what I've also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Today, all over the world, people remember Jesus' sacrifice, and let us be thankful. Amen. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Let us be thankful. Amen. During Lent, we have a cross with seven lights. It's kind of the opposite to the Advent wreath that we have at Christmas time, because the light of the world is in the world. But when Good Friday comes, that light has gone out of the world. Thankfully, we know that Easter comes and the light comes back. And so as Jesus hung on the cross, despite the immense amount of pain he was in, he was thinking of you and of each of us. He was thinking about the people who had just abandoned him in the moments that they needed him most. He was thinking about the men who were nailing him to the cross, inflicting even more pain. He recognized that they really had no idea what they were doing. The soldiers were simply carrying out orders. Those that had betrayed him and abandoned him were maybe not aware of the gravity of what was happening. Regardless, Jesus was thinking of them and of each of us, and interceding on behalf of all people. Father, forgive them, was his cry. And yet, it was our sin that held him there. And as he hung, a little of the light of the world went out.